Okay, we're picking up for the Mishnah on Chaf Vav Amud Aleph. Now we are discussing the final topic of this Masechta, which is really what you would have thought we'd started with, the whole mitzvah Sayom of Rosh Hashanah, which is a mitzvah of shofar. So that the Mishnah is going to discuss with what can you use as a shofar. So the Mishnah starts off, Eilan Shatapa Chaf Vav Amud Aleph, Kol HaShofaros Kshirim, all the shofaros that we, there are all the things that are called a shofar, things from an isle, a yael, a goat, anything like that, or anything from domesticated animals, those are going to be kosher. Chutz Michel Par, except for that of a cow, Nishu Karen, because it's called a Karen, a horn, and it's never called a shofar. The Gemara is going to discuss this. It's never called a shofar. It's only called a Karen. Amar Rabbi Yossi disagrees. He says, Valo kola shofaros nikros Karen, but aren't all shofars called a Karen? Shenemar, the pasuk in Yehoshua tells us, Vimshoch beKaren Yovel. It says in Yehoshua that upon drawing out of the blast of the Yovel's Karen, when you hear this hound of the shofar, the hemjach of the shofar, so the latter part of the pasuk, which is telling us, when you hear the shofar, is seemingly extra. So therefore, it's coming to teach you that all shofaros are going to be considered a Karen. It's a very good proof of Rabbi Yeshua. So the Gemara is going to discuss what exactly was the response of the Rabban. The Gemara gets right into it right away. The Gemara says, Shapir Ka'amar Rabbi Yossi. That Rabbi Yossi had made a very good taina. Rabbi Yossi said something very good. They're all called shofars. The Gemara says, Rabban, what did the Rabban respond to this? Kol ha-shofaros ikru shofar v'ikru karen. You're right, that all the shofars are in fact called a shofar. However, they're also called a karen. That's fine, based on this pasuk, that a karen is not going to postulate. Though when they're called a Karen, that's fine, but they also have to be called a shofar. However, the part of the Karen Ikri shofar, the para is Karen Ikri shofar Ikri. That when it comes to a horn of a cow, it's called a Karen, but never do we find anywhere in Tanakh that it's called a shofar. The Chsiv Bechor Sharo Adrelov Karnim Karnav. We know it's written, this is bracha of Moshe Rabbeinu giving to Shevet Yosef, and it says to them that their firstborn is his ox, as glorious as it is, and his horns of a Karen of a Re'im. This pasuk is the horns of a Karen. The Gemara Makama uses this pasuk, okay, for the very beginning of the Arbas of Ezekiel, but this pasuk we're referencing it to the fact that the ox, which Yosef is compared to an ox, and he's called a Karen. And nowhere do we find that the horns are ever going to be called the shofar of a cow, so therefore it's going to be puzzled. So basically, we say when it's called Karen and shofar, that's fine. But if it's ever called shofar, we never see by the Karen of the horns of a para, so then it's going to be puzzled. So where it says, Rabbi Yosef or the Chara, how is Rabbi Yosef going to disprove this? The para nami ikri shofar, but a cow is called a shofar. The pasuk says, "Visitav Lashem Mishor Par." The pasuk tells us that I'm going to praise the name of Hashem. I'm going to sing to Hashem, and it should be more pleasing to Hashem my singing than a shor, which is an ox, or a par, which is a bull. So in Sukkot, it says, "Im shor lava par." So if David Melech is praising Hashem, that the lashon that he's speaking is so great, so if he just says the animal of a shor, why does it also mention that he's going to praise him like a par as well? Better than a shor or a par. I'm better than offering this korban vim par lama shor. And if it calls the animal par, why do you have to mention a shor? So elamai shor par. Why is it mentioned short and apart? That is, tfilos are more pleasing to Hashem than a shore or a part. It's a lashon together. A shore and a part together comes the lashon of mi shofar. It wasn't then a shofar, which is what the people do on fast days and different times. So Rabbi Yosef understanding that shor par should be read as one and should be shofar, and therefore that's what he's getting from this pasuk from the Riboy. So the Gemara says, Rabbanan, how do they reject this limud of Rabbi Yosef from the pasuk of Tehillim over here? The Gemara says, Kederav Masner. Rabbanan learn it in accordance to Rav Masner. The Amar of Masner, Rav Masner told us, my shor par. What is the meaning of the lashon of a shor and a par? Shehu gadol kepar, shor which is gadol kepar. Rav Masne is teaching us the pasuk of, is talking about the shore of the creation. As Rashi tells us, that was the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Levi Sal Arir, that the creatures, when they were created fully grown. So shore par is meaning an animal on the day that it's called a shore. It's fully grown, it's going to be called a par. So day old ox is called a shore. And then when an ox is not called a par, it was only until 3 years later. So he's telling us a shore par is a fully grown animal. It could be that the Gemara is relating the fact that Adam Arishon was makriv and an ox to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So maybe David Melech is saying that my tefillos are more to more than this korban that Adam Arishon brought. My tefillos are more chashiv to Hashem than the very first korban that Adam Arishon brought. So Gemara says, another explanation of why the Rabbanan pasul the carne of the para. Why is the horns of the carne of the para pasul? Because Ula Amar Ainu Taima de Rabbanan. Another reason why the Rabbanan kid Rav Chista, as Rav Chista tells us, Demar Rav Chista. Why doesn't the Kohen Gadol, when he goes into the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur, he doesn't go in with any of the golden things that he wears? We know the Kohen Gadol is 8 begadim. Anything that have gold on it, the 4 things that have gold on it, he does not wear them. He does not wear them into the Kodesh Kodashim. Why? Because of Vishain Kategor, not Sesenegor. Because an accuser cannot become a defender. Gold, by definition, punished is something that accuses us. It's something that reminds us of the sin. What sin does remind us? The Chet Egel, the sin of the golden calf. That's where we took the gold, the Zav, and we used it towards the Egel HaZahav. So that's why we don't want to bring in this to remind Hashem of this Avera. So the Rabbanan also understand that using the horn of a cow or anything similar to that is going to recall that of the golden calf, of the fact that it was the offspring of the golden, of something like the Chet HaEgel, and therefore it should remind us on the day of judgment, we're asking Hashem for a good judgment, we don't remember, we don't mention something that will bring us, Chas V'Shalom, gonna become accuser of Klal Yisrael. So Gemara says, V'Lo, is it really that the Kohen Gadol doesn't wear any gold, because of the fact that the accuser is not gonna become a defender, the Sanegar, the Kategor, and the Sanegar, Va'ika Dampar, but the fact that the Kohen Gadol used to bring in the blood of the Kohen Gadol, used to bring in the blood of a korban, of a par, of a bull offering, which is obviously something which is reminiscent. The bull is mamish reminiscent of the golden calf. So lechora, this is mamish reminiscent of the egel hazav. So how could it be that he brings it lefanim and brings it in a kodesh kadoshim? That was part of the avoda sayom, is to bring it in. And he's kachay omonere achas 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 shayim. That whole thing he would bring in with the blood of the par. So the Gemara says, Ha'il v'ishtane, since the blood has changed in a physical sense, Rashi points out that no longer it was part of the animal. Now it doesn't look anything like a ishtane. Since it, again, I was just reading the whole line. Ha'il v'ishtane ishtane, that since it changed its halacha as well. And Rashi points out that again, that it was part, the blood was part and parcel of the cow. It reminded you of the bull, rather. And it reminded you of the bull, so that's something that we shouldn't bring in. But once you change it to the status of blood, it doesn't remind us at all. And it would be able to be something that we can use towards a potential, not something that's bad for us, but it's going to become something that's helpful to Klal Yisrael. So we're asked, the Vayter v'Ha'ika Aron of Kaporis Echruv, it really says Echruvim, not necessarily say Echruv 1, but either way it says that there's the Aron, right, the Ark and the covering, and also the Echruvim were the two cherubim on top of the Aron, those things were all made of gold, and yet they were in the Kodesh Kedoshim when the Kohen Gadol entered there on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, Chote Bal Yakrev Kamina. We're talking about the fact that only that a sinner should not bring close an item which he has sinned. That the Kohen Gadol, who wants to bring Kapara on Klal Yisrael, he should not bring into the Kodesh Kedoshim any item which is recalling their sins. If something is already there, and Omid there, we're not going to take it out. But the Kohen Gadol, we're talking about, don't bring in something which is a Kategor Nasa Sanegor. The Gemara says, Va'ika Kafa Matu. Wait a second. Isn't he bringing in the gold and later and the fire pan which the Kohen Gadol brought in, which were made of gold? So clearly, that's something that he's bringing in, and it's something that's made of gold. So Gemara says, Chote Bal Yisna'e Kamrina. We're talking about only that a sinner should not, he should not wear these Yisna'e. He shouldn't, like, adorn himself with these nice things. Therefore, they're made of gold. They're the things of the golden things that he wears. Those are not, those are things that are problematic. However, the things that he has an avoda, part of that avoda, which is not his personal clothing, so then it would not be a problem for him to bring them into Kodesh Kedoshim. So the Gemara says, Va'ika big day zav mi b'chutz. But wait a second. Doesn't the Kohen Gadol wear these golden garments and things, part of his avoda, part of his things, outside of the Kodesh Kedoshim? So since the rather outside of the Kodesh Kedoshim, so then, isn't that a problem of Kategor Nasis and Egor during Yom Kippur? We're saying that he wears them outside the Kodesh Kedoshim. Where it says, Mibifnim Kamrina, we're talking about the fact that only inside on the Kodesh Kedoshim is where the Shekhinah is, the Iker Shekhinah is. That's where we're choshish, it's mamish a problem. However, outside of the Kodesh Kedoshim, we're not assuming there would be an issue. So Gemara asks a question, well, wait a second. So then, where is the shofar? Shofar, Navi Bachutsu, isn't the shofar also something which is not done in the Kodesh Kedoshim? So this whole word of Kategor Nasis and Egor, a reason why we wouldn't blow the shofar of a par, should only be if you're blowing a shofar, the only place to blow a shofar was in the Kodesh Kedoshim. We don't familiar with anybody who blows a shofar in the Kodesh Kedoshim. The shofar is a mitzvah that's done for all of Klai, so outside of Kodesh Kedoshim on Rosh Hashanah. So why is there Bechla L'shayla over here? Gemara says, this is a fascinating Gemara. There's not a Chasir Shatayra over here. But Kevin Dele Zikaranu, since the shofar and Rosh Hashanah is the purpose of remembrance of Klai Yisrael before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's going to remember us and as he goes on the Kisei Din, moves on to the Kisei Rachamim. So the Gemara says, Kibifnim Dami. It's equivalent to Mamish being similar to the fact that Mamish, like, we're in Kodesh Kedoshim. It's a fascinating thing. It's not a Chasir idea here. That when we're blowing shofar, we're in a Bechina of Kodesh Kedoshim. That's what the Gemara is saying right here. Beferish Gemara that says this. It's Mamish amazing. That this is the vehicle towards the Kodesh Baruch Hu, bringing the tefillahs to Kodesh Baruch Hu Shechina, and that is something very similar to Kodesh Kodeshim. It has that ability to bring us close to Kodesh Baruch Hu on that level, and the shofar is therefore going to have the same comparison. Fascinating thing that comes out of the Gemara over here. Wow, how strong the koach! If we those read, there's the Zohar that the Siddurim will print before the before tkiyas shofar also, it speaks about how great and how strong the koach of the shofar is. Again, the Gemara has mentioned that also, but I'm saying that there's very deep things about the Gemara, like in Bifnim, we're in Kodesh Kedoshim when we're blowing the shofar. So now the Gemara says about Ula's explanation of the Rabbanan that it was based on the Mishnah. The Gemara says, "V'had tanu b'nei shu karen kamar." Wait a second. Ula was explaining the Rabbanan's psul of a par, of a kohen, of a kara. They're using that as the shofar based on the Mishnah, but based on Rav Chista. But the Tana of our Mishnah, it says explicitly because it's called the karen. That's the reason that the Tana gives us. So how can you make up a reason that's not in the Mishnah? So the Gemara says, "You're right. Chadav od kamar." The Tana is really using. He's probably saying first and like the first and this meaning that he's saying chadad the ain't katar gana segunar. Really, the main reason actually is because it's not mentioned, but that's the main reason is because an accuser cannot become a defender. Oh, but they shoot Karen. Also, the other answer is because of Karen. Lechora, he didn't even like that. That was like a secondary answer. Maybe he was bothered by the fact that Rabbi Yossi gave a very good answer for the fact that it was a Karen. So really, in katar gana segunar was really the main reason actually that. That Ula understood, based on Rav Chista, that would be the reason to passel a para. So the Gemara says, so Rav Yossi is going to respond. How do you respond? The Gemara in Kategor Nasek. Now he's going to say that. He's going to shuto that it's talking about inside the Kodesh Kedoshim. V'hai shofar v'chutzu. And the shofar is done outside of the base of Mikdash, outside of the Kodesh Kedoshim, and certainly it could be done outside of the base of Mikdash even. So that's not an issue of Kategor Nasek and Igor. So therefore it's not a problem. And then the second time that you have, with the Gemara in Nesu Karen, that because it's called the Karen, that's also I'm not convinced by that because kol shofars nami ikru karen. All shofars are called the karen, so you have no tainas on my shita as well. That's where Yosef would answer both of them. Now the Gemara gives another explanation of why the Rabbana would say that a par, the par of the cow is going to be possible for a shofar. The Gemara says, "Amar Abay Amar, Hainu Tamayin the Rabbanan." This is the reason of the Rabbanan. Shofar Arachmana. The sound that has to come out is from the shofar. Velo Shnayim Ushlosha Shofars implies not two or three shofars. Okay, so where is there two or three shofars in a para? V'had a para because a para is given the kai gildi. That since it comes of different layers, it's different shells. It appears like two or three shofars. The fact that the cow's horn actually points out each year it grows, it appears as if another layer is being added. So it looks like there's more than multiple shofars. So that's going to tell us why it's going to be possible because it looks like it is two or three shofars. It's interesting. The Rishonim seem to understand that the psul of the Mishnah over here, we're going to see, as opposed to the Mishnah the next Talmud, is really psul de Reisa. Abayim Mamish sounds like a psul de Rabbana, though, because it looks like it is it's a psul de Reisa, because it looks like it's more than layers. We know that a layer of shofar is possible, but only the fact that it looks like it is b'chal the problem. It's not actually layers. But either way, Abayim says that it's possible, and many Rishonim assume that this would be a psul de Reisa also. Where says v'ha tanim neshu karen kamar, but wait. Doesn't the Mishnah tell us the same kashmir as before on Ula, that the same thing we'd ask on Abaye, that it doesn't, that the Hanukkah gives explicitly why it's possible, not because it looks like a multiple shofar, rather because it's possible because it's only a Karen, it's not called a shofar. And where it says, Chada ve'od ka'amar, that the Tana is stating us that it's first, and also another reason that Chada the shofar, Echad amar achmana ve'lishtam ve'lishtam shofar, because Baruch Hu tells us one shofar, not multiple shofars, not two or three shofars at once. If you blow multiple shofars in the same time, or one inside another one, that would be puzzle. Karen. Another reason is because it's called the Karen. So the Gemara now presents Rabbi Yossi as why Rabbi Yossi disagree. Rabbi Yossi Amar Lecha Dik Amar Shofar Echad Amar Chman Avlo Shnayim Ushlosha Shofaros, that you say you're arguing to me that a single shofar, not two or three shofars. Kevan de Mechabre Adade, since the layers are actually attached to another Chadu, it's really called one. It could be that we see from here actually, maybe that Taka goes back on what we said of Baye, that really that we're seeing over here, that's Mamash Psul De Reisa, because they're assuming it's attached. Maybe the Chachamim hold it, it's not really attached, not necessarily that it looks like it's multiple, it's Mamash Psul De Reisa. And it is viewed as multiple, halachically it's viewed as multiple shofars. So Kamar Bnei Shu Karen, then the other reason that you said that it's only called a Karen, that's not a good taina, because Kol HaShofars Demerka Karen, as we saw before already a few times now, that he taina is that all the shofars are called a Karen, and therefore there's no problem against my shita. Now the Gemara says, Mai Mash B'dahai Yov LaLishna D'dichrahu. Where do we see that the Lashon of a Yuvla is an Aramaic word for the Lashon of Yovel, is the Lashon of a ram. The Tanya was learned by Samar Rabbi Akiva, Shalachti la Arabia, when I traveled to Arabia, Hayukorin la Dikra Yuvla, they used to call a ram a Yuvla. They used to call a ram Luvla. That we see that the Torah makes allusions to other lashonos over here. I think the Kedushas Halevi has a shiklo about that. That the shivim lashonos, I'm sure it's from earlier sources as well. That the shivim lashonos or merumas are mamish in the Torah and other places like that. Right? Yagar Sarduta is coming up in a few weeks. Parsha. That's the lashon. That's the targum of Gal Eid that's Aramaic for Gal Eid. That's what Lavan called it. So we have other lashonos that are Greek. The Totafos, Bafriki, right? The different things. If lashonos, then maybe the shivim lashonos are actually merumas in the psukim. So the Braisa continues. The Braisa says, "Ve'amar Rabbi Akiva," and Rabbi Akiva also says, "Kshelachti legalia." When I traveled to Gal, Hayukorin leNida Galmuda. They used to call a Nida a Galmuda. Someone who's a Nida, someone who's blood. Right? The following is a Galmuda. What's Galmuda? What does Galmuda mean? That someone who's connoting a Nida because she's Gamula da Mibaila. Because this lady is separated from Mibaila. That's Galmuda. Galmuda. This one is separated from her husband. V'yamar Rabbi Kiva, and Rabbi Kiva said another remez. Kishalachti l'Afriki, when I traveled to Africa, you koren lema'a ksita. They used to call a ma'a ksita. Ma'a is a coin. A ma'a was worth it was 1/6 of a dinar. L'may nafkim, what's the difference? What does this make? L'afrushe ma'a ksita d'reisa me'a d'danke. That when a lashon of, when it comes to Yaakov Avinu, the Torah tells us Yaakov Avinu came to Shechem, he bought a land, he bought it from Hamor for 100 ksisas. So how much is that? So Gemara says that Yaakov was introducing a new type of coin. Rabbi Kiva was telling us that this coin was a ma, is a small amount and it was useful in commerce, so that's actually good. The people actually were probably happy they introduced a smaller coin. So that's what the psukim, to understand psukim, that's what Rabbi Kiva learned. Amar Rabbi. Rabbi said, "Kishalachti lekarchei hayam," when I traveled to the cities on the way to the ocean city, the beach cities, "Hayukorin lekrichei akira." I noticed that they would call akira. They used to call selling akira. L'may nafkim, you know what's the difference that it's called akira? L'frushe asher karasili. The pasuk which says. In Bereshit, when Yosef was explaining to Paro that his father had karasi for himself, I mean the karasi he bought for himself to bury me. That's what the lashon of Yosef are asking about Yaakov's request to be buried by there. So that when we're learning out that Esav was that Yaakov was rejecting Esav's claim and telling him that he bought Maris Machpelah for himself, he bought Esav's share as well. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, kolakli l'tchum kan nasharia." When I went to Kan Nasharia, you korin lekala ninfi. They used to call a bride a ninfi. Why was she called a ninfi? It's actually similar to the lashon of Yevanis. Rabbi Nachman says it in Greek. It means a kala. Utarnagol sechvi, and also rooster. They called sechvi. Lekala ninfi. Why they call a kala bride a ninfi? Maikra. The pasuk says yafei nof misos kol laaretz. The pasuk says a beautiful bride. She's the joy of all the earth. So that's the lashon over here. Is that it's praising Yerushalayim? The word nof is ninfi is like a bride. It's comparing Yerushalayim's beauty to that of a kala, of a bride. Utarnagol sechvi. And it was a rooster they called a sechvi. That's actually what I'm saying. Nosin la sechvi vino lanayna. The most pashup shot is that a rooster. Because it was a rooster, the ability to understand it, to distinguish between day and night. Others understand that the sechvi might be a lave. That's another level of interpretation of a sechvi, the bracha we say in the first bracha in Birchas HaShachar. Amar avinu marav, ibay seim arbi shubin levi, ma'ikra. What is the uses of these names? Mi shas betuchos chachma umine son sechvi vina. Who plays smooth ones? Winsomer gave one sechvi, which is understanding. Mi shas betuchachma ilu klayos. The one who smooth is when is wisdom. That is a reference to one's kidneys. That the two kidneys are their smooth organs, and that's referring to the kidneys. That reflects the person's wisdom. Okay, they help us and make decisions. Apparently, umine son sechvi vina is a tarnagel who gave the sechvi vina understanding. This is a rooster. Aramaic, which to see. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows the rooster the way to see, to understand the time when the Alos HaShachar is. Levi Ikla Lahu Asra. Levi once visited a certain area. Asa Gavra Lakami, a person came before him, Amarlay, and he said to Levi, turning on to the next time, but now, what did he say to him? He said, Kavan Palana. So Kava was, so-and-so Kava was me. Lo Avi Yadam Ekamar. He didn't know idea what he was talking about. Asa Shoyel, Bei Midrash, he asked the Beis Midrash, to Amrulay, they said to him, Gazlan Amarlach, he was telling him, so-and-so robbed me. How did you know this? Ha'ikava adam elokim. The pasuk says, "Rav, ha'ikava God." Here is lashon of malachi. Lashon is stealing. He meant, and he said a lashon of stealing. Amarle Rava and Barnish to Ravashi. Rava and Barnish said to Ravashi, "I have a hasam, have a mina lay." I would have said to the man, "Hey, ha'ikavav. How did he cover you? But my kavach, what did he cover you? The amai kavach, and what did he do to you? What did he cover to you? The meila v'yadana." So then I'd have learned what the lashon meaning was saying. I could have pretended that I knew the lashon was, or figured it out from the context of the conversation by asking him questions about it, and then I would have got through the context, I would have figured out that it was lashon of stealing. So Gemara says, why didn't he do this? Maybe he was telling him something very inappropriate. Maybe it was talking about the illicit relations or something like that. So he didn't want to start asking him details about this, obviously. He didn't want to get involved in that conversation because he was afraid to start asking all these questions. You know, if he started speaking very, very inappropriate things, so he didn't want to address him in that manner. And he could have figured out like that, but he went to the Beis Medrash to figure out what this guy was really complaining about. Gemara continues, Lavaya the Rabbanan Mai Sirugan. The Rabbanan apparently didn't know, the Rabbanan of the Beis Medrash, they didn't know the lashon of what is a Sirugan. The Mishnah tells us in Megillah that if someone read in Megillah's Esther b'Sirugan, you're going to be Yotze. So Rabbanan didn't know what this unusual word of Sirugan was. So apparently we see that the Marsha points out that sometimes the Rabbanan didn't know all of the language of psukim or even common language or even some things that Lashonos of Mishnayos of the way Lashonos of all the Chachamim spoke. Maybe there's Talmidim weren't the best of Talmidim, right? They weren't the biggest Talmidim, but either way, they didn't know all the Lashonos. They didn't know what Sarugim was. Shemula Amtsu Devi Rebbe's, how did they figure it out? Rebbe's maidservants. I see we can learn even so much from the people of Mishamesh, the Gedolim, even their maidservants know so many Lashonos just from being around such a Gadol. The Chazisu Rabbanan Davi Alei Paske Paske, when they observed the Rabbanan entering the Rebbe's house, and Amrulai, they came in slowly, they came in a little bit at a time, right? They came in small groups, not all at once. Rashi says, Amrulu, Admasatan, Echlesen, Sirugan, Sirugan, why are you guys coming in? Sirugan, Sirugan, she used the lesson of Sirugan. That meant that they were telling them that why are you going in slowly? Why are you going slowly? So they learned that all together. So they learned, oh, that's what the Mishnah is telling us, that if you read it not all together, you read it, you take a pause, you read a little psukim, and you take another pause, you're still going to be Yotze. Now the Gemara continues, Lavia, there are another thing where Rabban didn't know what the lashon of Chalgogios was. What was Chalgogios? So the Gemara teaches us that a Kohen Gadol was not allowed to eat certain fruits during the 7 days prior to Yom Kippur because we're afraid he's going to have Re'iyah Sheikh Vazer, he's going to have an emissional of his seed coming out, so we don't want that apostle him for his avodah on Yom Kippur. That's why for 7 days he wouldn't be with his wife, and 7 days he wouldn't eat certain foods. And one of those foods was Chalgogios, to not have him have a Sheikh Vazer from it. So Gemara says, Yom Echad Shemuel L'Amtsu Devei Rebbe, one time they heard maidservant of Rebbe's household, the Chazis Lahu Gavra Dekame Vadar Parpachine, when she served a certain person who was scattering this type of herb. So Gemara says, Amri Lei, Amase Atat Mefazer Chalgogecha. How long are you scattering this Chalgogecha, this herb? So we see, they learn from there what exactly was this herb was the issue for this for the Kohen Gadol to eat this herb. So Gemara says another problem, well, another thing that happened. La Viyadei Rabbanan Mai Salsala Uter Mecca. That this pasuk, they didn't understand the pshat in the pasuk when it said Salsala. The pasuk says that literally it's going to uplift you. Sal chalecha, then it's going to uplift you. What is this? Yom Echad Shemuel Amtsu Devei Rebbe. Another one. They saw the maidservant of Rebbe. Davei Amr Lahu Gavra Davei Kamehapek Basare. He was curling his hair. Amr Lahu, she gave him Musar. Admata Ata Mesalsel Basarecha. Longer Mesalsel with your Sa'ar, which we're learning over here. Salsel means to delve into and turn over. So therefore the pasuk means that you should delve in and turn over to the secrets of the Torah, and that would uplift you. That's what the pshat of the pasuk was. So the Gemara now says another time something else happened. Lava yadei rabbanan mai vitatasiya b'matei hashmei. The pasuk says, I will metaltele with taltei of destruction. What is this? Yom Echad, this pasuk is a reference to Yishayahu. It's talking about the Bavel is going to eventually be the downfall of Bavel because they caused the base of Midrash to be destroyed, and also send Klal Yisrael to Kalos. So they're going to be punished, and they're going to have to be metaltel destruction. The Gemara says, what is this? Yom Echad Shemuel Amtsu Devei Rebbe. Another time they heard the maidservant Rebbe, Davi Armel Lechaverta, was telling to her friend or her coworker, Shekuli Taisei, take the broom, Vitatai Beisei, and sweep the house. So that's the lashon over here, and I'm going to sweep them away like you would a broom. You sweep them away, sweep them out of the picture. So lavi yader abanan mai ashlech al shem yavcha v'lichalecha. The abanan didn't know the pshat in the pasuk is in Tehillim, which says you should throw on Hashem your yahav, and He's going to sustain you. What's this yahav? Amar Rav Rechana, what's this yahav? Yom echad avi azlina ba'ade ahutai. I saw an Arab merchant have dariana tuna. He was carrying I was carrying a load. But Amar Lin, he told me, actually, it was a nice guy. Shakol yavcha, take your yahav. Shutting my lane, I put it onto my camel. So we hope it's here that you should cast your burden, and I will sustain you. That's what the pasuk in Tehillim is telling us. Cast your burden, Hashem is going to sustain you. Now the Mishnah gives other types of shofar that should be used on Rosh Hashanah. Now, according to most Rishonim, the previous Mishnah was discussing which, as I mentioned before, that those are all psul midaraisa. And that, and over here, this Mishnah is telling us which dinim should be used midarabanan. However, the Rambam actually learns that this Mishnah is actually arguing the previous Mishnah and is holding that only one type of shofar is going to be valid for the mitzvah, as we're going to see over here. So the Mishnah tells us, shofar Rosh Hashanah shel Ya'el Pashut. The shofar Rosh Hashanah has to be that of a goat. That's how Rashi understands it. Understand other explanations of what it means, but we're going to go with that. We'll go with Rashi. It's a goat, which is, it has to be, which is a Yael Pashut, which is also has to be straight. Takana's main point is a horn should be straight. The wench is a goat, as an example of an animal whose horns are typically straight. So that would be one that is straight. Even though it's somewhat curved, the goat's horn is apparently be straight comparatively to the ram's horn, which we'll get to later. So the Gemara says, "Pima tzupa zav," and its mouth could be the mouth plate could be covered with gold, and that would be not a problem of ein kategor nasas enigor, as we saw before, because the gold was put on where the lips were placed, and not actual part of the shofar, which was where the sound was coming out from. And also they would have two trumpets blown at its sides. This is a reference to the Beis HaMikdash on Rosh Hashanah. Two men blowing the shofar would be blowing the shofar next to the person who was blowing the mitzvah. And the shofar blower would have the ikar position because that was the mitzvah of the day. And so what would they do? Shofar ma'arech, the shofar blowers would go longer, and the chatzos would be longer, and the shofar rather would be longer to be able to hear the shofar. Shemitzvah yom shofar, because the mitzvah is to hear, everyone's here of the mitzvah chiyuv, even though people in the Beis HaMikdash have a chiyuv, a full-fledged chiyuv, to hear the shofar, so that's why you do that. So then the Gemara says, the Mishnah continues, the Mishnah says that uvesanis on the fast days, b'shel zecharim kufim, it should be with horns of males, and it should be also b'shel zecharim kufufim, and they should be bent, upian mitzupe kesef, and they should be plated with silver. Shtei chatzos be'emtz, and they should have two trumpets blown in the middle. Shofar mekater, the shofar should be blown short. V'chatzos marichos, the trumpet should be blown long. Shemitzah zayam b'chatzos, the mitzvah of the day, is the ikar actually on the fast days, is going to be that of blowing the chatzos. The pasuk Baloscha tells us that, right, alatzar otzarer eschem, aresim b'chatzos. The pasuk tells you that you should blow chatzos, alatzar. Tzar is a fast days. Fast days was done, we're going to get to that, Baruch Hashem. All the different things that they were declared fast day for, but the etzem, that's all one thing in the major and common, is the fast days is for eis tzara, and that's clearly the mitzvah midaraisa to blow chatzos is when it's an eis tzara. Shavei Yovel the Rosh Hashanah, that the Yovel year is similar to that of Rosh Hashanah. We know that the shofar had to be blown on Yom Kippur of Yovel year, and we're going to learn a lot of the same halachas apply from Yom Kippur year to Yovel, and that is also the tkiyah, that the same amount of blowing, the same number actually of blowing, according to the Rambam, of blasts of a shofar you have to blow. The tkiyah for blowing of shofar, the brachos, also the brachos, they used to say nine brachos on the musaf that we say in Rosh Hashanah, they would say the same malchus, akornos, and shofros during Yom Kippur of Yovel. Rabbi Yehuda, I remember Rosh Hashanah token b'shel zecharim, and Rosh Hashanah they would blow horns with that of males. That's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Yovel they would blow with goats. Unlike the Tanakhama, Rabbi did not receive the Mesorah that they had Xerah Shavar from the shofar of Yovel, the shofar of Hashanah. He learns that they would be different halachas. Amar Rabbi Levi. Levi said, Mitzvah shel Rosh Hashanah shel Yom HaKippurin v'kfufin. The mitzvah of a shofar and a shana on Yom Kippur is actually to have bent horns. V'shel kol Hashanah b'shutin, and on fast days it should be straight ones. Gemara says, what do you mean? V'atanan shofar shel Rosh Hashanah shel Yom HaPashut. Don't we learn in our Mishnah, which tells us a shofar of Rosh Hashanah should be that of a goat, it should be straight. Why does Rabbi Levi rule that the shdafka be bent? So which is it, seemingly against the Mishnah? So Gemara says, "Hu demar ki aitana," that he understood that Isha understood like the different brayse had a different kirsa. Tana of Yudo Emer, Rosh Hashanah to come b'shel zecharim kufuf, and the Rosh Hashanah they would blow with horns of males which are bent. Of Yovel b'shel yom and Yovel they would blow it with goats that are straight. So the Gemara's answer, Rabbi Levi, is following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And in the case of Rosh Hashanah, he's understanding like the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Gemara says, "Lema lechosak Rabbi Yehuda." So why don't Rabbi Levi just say that the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda? Why does he have to mention a new brayse? This is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. We know that. So the Gemara says, why? Because Iyam Martel Chazak Rabbi Yehuda. If you teach me the lacha of following Rabbi Yehuda, have I mean afilu shel Yovel nami Rabbi Yehuda svirle. I understand Rabbi Levi is going to hold Rabbi Yehuda like with regards to shofar and Yom Kippur the Yovel year. Kamash Mon, Rabbi Levi is there for teaching us that the Yovel year the lacha does not follow Rabbi Yehuda, and you must use the bent shofar on the Yom Kippur shechalios be Yovel. Mar says, "But Mike and Lifagi, what point does the Tanakama and the Mishnah disagree?" So Mar says, "Mar Savar, Rabbi Yehuda holds Rosh Hashanah Kama dechayef inish daite. Rosh Hashanah, a person should bow his mind, Mar, but chavif is das. He should be bowing himself in a bad position. Tfei Maya, the more the better it is, because the bench shofar is used to reflect the person's submission on him on Rosh Hashanah. We should know that a Jew is praying, and a Jew is davening, he should be in that position of bent over." That we should be bent over, and that should be mechafif ourselves. That's one of the minhagim of bending yourself down for Shmona Esrei is that's a Rama quotes this halacha that the person should be bent over while davening Shmona Esrei, then get up for the brachas. Okay, whatever. But that is that maybe this part of this idea is that it should be bent like you should be submitting yourself more, submission more on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur and Kama Depashin Ishin Daite. However, Yom Kippur of the Yovel year, more a person straightens his mind. Pei Malia, it's It's better that straight shofar is used because it's talking about, we're talking about the fact that everyone's being freed on the Yom Kippur Shechalios B'Yovel. So therefore, that proclamation, something that a person to be straight, he's now free. Umar Saver, as opposed to Nakamo holds, Rosh Hashanah come to Bashan Ish Daita, and Rosh Hashanah, more person strains his Pesav of Twilight, that's better. And therefore, a straight shofar should be better. Why is it better? Because a physical posture for davening is the fact that we're masas ka'bayim na'el of Hashemayim, we lift our hearts up to Hashemayim, and therefore that should be more an upright position, and he yells it's a better way to be davening, even on Rosh Hashanah. And the Gemara says, and utfei maliyah, and if a taina is coming to kaivanish like that, as opposed to fast days, so that's tfei maliyah, that bending over, that's mamish and eistara, that should be how we do it. So basically, in summarization, according to the Tanakama, a shofar should be straight, that's used for Rosh Hashanah. And that's what we mentioned before, it should be used straight. A straight shofar should be used on Yom Kippur of the Yovel year as well because of the Gzira Shava. A bent shofar is used on fast days to the stringers of blowing that from that in Rosh Hashanah. According to Yehuda, a bent shofar is used in Rosh Hashanah for the reason that we already discussed. And in Yom Kippur, it should be a straight one used to the fact that it's the Yovel is the freedom time, and that should be straight. And Yehuda's opinion is that fast days is going to be the subject of Machlokas. Now, Alacha Lamaisa, the Ramban, says that the three levels of doing the mitzvah of shofar in Rosh Hashanah, that first, the b'di'evet, if you use any animal except for any hollow horn, except for that of a cow, should be kosher. L'chachila, it should be bent. He holds it like as Rav Levi rules, it should be bent over. And the third one, that's going to be based on the Gemara later. We'll get the Gemara before mentioned it, that specifically we mentioned it earlier, but the Rambam is going to hold that. The Rabban only holds it l'chachila, but we'll mention maybe Shittas Rambam another time, is that he's going to hold that that's just l'chachila to use specifically an aisle. Of a ram's horn because of the schus of Yitzchak. However, the Rambam is going to hold this mamish ma'akev even b'dievet to use a rosh shel ayil, the shofar shel ayil. Kabbalah Hashem will pick up a piv mitzvah bezav in tomorrow's daf.